You prefer that they'll speak in English or in Hebrew?
English.
Okay. Afterwards, we go over it in Hebrew for
everybody. Okay, I'll start in English and I'll see you when to transfer. Everyone is, if you're hot, you want to open the windows here, you can open. And we don't know if, oh, maybe it's too shiny like this? You can do it a little, close it a little, like this, yes. Okay. Everyone is comfortable? I'm very glad to be here with you. In the beginning, I didn't know if I'll have time, won't have time, but I'm glad it came like this. I heard that you are an amazing group. And also your rabbi, Rabbi Sobolovsky. I know very well. I don't know if you know Rabbi Zev Reichman also. So, Bezrat Hashem, we'll try to come in halachical issues, halachical questions in the army. Because we are dealing with Shabbos, so I'll focus on Shabbos issues. And I'll do it through the last war, a year ago. Mivtza Oferet Yetzuka. Heard about it? Know how to say it in Hebrew? Mivtza Oferet Yetzuka. What was the name of the last war a year ago?
Castle.
Okay, Oferet Yetzuka. and I'll tell you questions that I was asked while. I was asked also before, in the beginning of the war, while I was here in the yeshiva, here in Alon Shvut. And afterwards, a few days afterwards, I got so many questions from soldiers, and I saw that they are cold. And although they had uniform, but it's not the same. There are special things. You have an army coat, but you have also a thermal one. You have army gloves, and you have battle thermal gloves. You have things that are better. And the war was in winter time. So I saw the soldiers are cold. So I phoned the community in Englewood. Is there someone here from Englewood? No, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay. So I found a community there, and Rav Reichman, in one day, arranged all the money there. I spoke with all the factories here. The day afterwards, he came to Israel for this. And Baruch Hashem, I didn't want just to send it. So we went to the border where the soldiers were, a place that citizens are not allowed to come usually. And we took with us 3,000, all of those battle gloves and other things. And we went there, and there on the border, I heard many more questions that were very fresh. That someone, the border is a place that all the soldiers are waiting and practicing. And all the time a group is going in, and another group is in. And after a week and a half, a group goes out. And I'll try to tell you a few of those questions that I was asked. A soldier called me on Wednesday. And he said, I'm on the border. And I think that maybe on Shabbos we are going to come in. Okay, what was his question? Now you have to guess.
Eruv.
So what's the question? Eruv, so.
How far can you walk?
Tchumin, Eruv. But you understand that although Eruv and Tchumin are, of course, they're a good question for someone that wants to go from there in Gaza to meet his family. But if you are in the middle of a war, So understand, so there's no problem. Eruv, Tchumin is going to ride. I mean, riding, okay, it's a war, what can you do? So not this was his question, although of course it's an issue, but not this was his question. If you are too hot, someone, you can come here, here is shadow. If someone is too hot, you have a place. You can take your chair and move here. Okay, you have other suggestions? What was his question? Yes.
I don't want to be too graphic, but maybe to bury, is that an issue then?
If an issue to bury. So this is an issue in the army. It wasn't his question because, no, it's very, usually it's far away from a soldier, from his mind. Although there is also a question, not so to bury, but to carry. If someone was killed, if you may carry him. This is a big issue. Maybe afterwards I can, because there is no pikuach nefesh. But if you leave them, the Arabs, the terrorists will take him, will take the body. So this is a very important issue that I won't deal now. Maybe afterwards I'll try to deal with this a little. Okay, you have more suggestions? What was his question?
All he said is, I'm going in on Shabbat.
He thinks he's going in, and it can be a week and a half, 2 weeks. I mean, is you know, when you go in, you don't know when you go out. You're in, you are in the war. You don't know for how long. It depends how many other forces are there. It depends when the war finishes. He doesn't know.
Can he pick up the phone?
Oh. So this wasn't the question there because he's with the army there. Also on the border it's the army. I mean, both sides are army. But there is army in the middle of a war and here is army waiting to come in. So he doesn't need to pick anything. They'll tell him, the commander, they'll tell him what... Oh, very nice. This was the question. What do you want to say? Tefillin? This, what was his question? May he take his tefillin with? Isn't it exciting, amazing? A soldier, chaim v'mavet, above him. And this is what's bothering him. If to take tefillin with him, it's amazing. I mean, this is, wow. You feel, this is a question of a soldier in the army of Yehoshua bin Nun. I mean, it's something special, it's something amazing, it's wow. Okay, what do you say?
There's a question about what this... There's a question about tefillin on Shabbos would be muksa, right? That meaning it's a, and it's a question about what the status of tefillin are on Shabbos, like what level of muksa.
And also an aliyah.
So you say there is a question, an issue that we have to see if tefillin are muksa on Shabbos, right? Maybe tefillin are mukta on Shabbos, and if they're mukta, we have a problem to take them with us.
Don't need to open this door. For me, it's not no problem. Maybe it's not for you.
Do you want to go open there? This is so. You can put a chair. Without chair, it won't help. Yes.
Does it matter if I believe that if you find tefillin and there, you know, if you get ruined or whatever on Shabbos, you're allowed to carry it next, you're allowed to leave it on Shabbos. Would it matter if you leave it like at the front line, no one's gonna take care of them? Then would you maybe take them with them?
So you say maybe it's different if they will get lost,
right,
or damaged or won't. Okay. Someone had more issues to...
It's preparing for after Shabbat.
Preparing. Hachana mikodesh lechol. So one issue is mukte. Another issue, hachone. Preparing from Shabbos to Yom Chol. he's now taking the tefillin that he can put it on him, put them on him on Sunday.
I mean, he can put it on Shabbos as well, and then he'll be out of the issue of carrying.
You are trying to find a solution maybe to put it on him.
Yeah. Let him put them on as soon as he's going to the battle.
Yes, it's a nice solution, although it's better to say it here. When we learn, it's nice to say, take the tefillin here with him. But when you are going to a war, to put them on him, to go like this, it's not practical. It's nice in numbness to say it's here. And maybe there is an option, but I can't suggest it to a soldier, put the tefillin in him. You want to do
that? Okay. Just in the question of the army, to violate maybe something on Shabbos for the chance that after Shabbos that you'll be able to be yotzei to the mitzvah, maybe like that type of cheshbon is not like when you're in the army, that's not that maybe you're not as able to make such a cheshbon because you don't know if you're going to be like you don't know what the situation is going to be the next day, whether you're going to be able to put on the tefillah.
You see, you can't think about Sunday because maybe you won't be able in any case to put tefillin
right,
on Sunday.
You'll be on a mission or that like some you'll be in some situation where
so
like,
because of this, you so say don't take the tefillin because who knows if you can use them.
Right. Maybe you'll come back, right? So you don't know. So meaning, so to violate the Easter of Shabbos, maybe.
Right. Okay. What do you say?
Well, maybe we have to look at the nature of the Easter of having the tefillin on Shabbos, because maybe the tefillin are not necessarily such a chamor idea of mukta because of the reasons why the tefillin itself is mukta.
So we have to check, you say, how chamur is the muktzeh of tefillin. Okay.
What's the status when you're going to the army in terms of what melachos you could do?
If it's pikuach nefesh, you could do everything, but this is not pikuach nefesh. The problem here is, when it's pikuach nefesh, okay, so...
If it's in your bag of stuff that you're carrying for pikuach nefesh situations...
Okay, so this is another question. This is another question that we have to deal. And you said that one problem is mukze, another problem is achone, and the third problem, it's around above here all the time, but this is, of course, caring, eruv. There is no eruv there, and if it's for going in a war, of course we can go, I mean, to take all the things that we need for the army, but things that we don't need to take as tefillin, so it's a question of eruv and maybe a question of tchumin. Because tchumin, we know in all the Mishnayos in Beitza, it's not just on the person, it's also on the luggage. So, not just carrying, not just chutzah, also tchumin. Those are the issues, mukze, achone, eiruv, and tchumin. Okay. Now I'll tell you the truth that I wanted. Now to deal with you on this question, to tell you the see to the answers together. But I was told that maybe it's better not to tell you answers now. And you'll think about it in the week time. And Sunday we'll meet again and then you'll tell me your answers. I don't know whatever you want. We are going to meet in a week time after you are going to be in other places. And in a week time we are going to meet Sunday afternoon, next Sunday, in Jerusalem. So I don't know if you would like to do it, I say, okay, we have time this week, we'll sit on it, we'll sit with us, with Rabbi Sobolovsky, we'll figure all this. What do you say?
No.
Yeah. We'll sit with it.
Yes?
Let it settle down a little.
Well, I'm falling
okay, so I'm going to the next question, okay? Maybe in the end I'll give example of one question. We'll see according to the time, okay? Just I want you to know that all those questions, most of them, I got them in a pressure time that I have to give an answer immediately. Sometimes when I was on the border, so it's really, you know, in war, they go in and then I'm... But also by telephone, a soldier phones me and asks me a question. And I'm starting asking him, tell me what is this? What? He tells me, Rabbi, I got 2 minutes to phone. one for my mother, one for you. You can't take all my time. He has 2 minutes a week to phone. They are in a war, you know, they give them, okay, now two minutes to say that everything is okay. So everything is under fire. You have to answer under fire. Straight away you have to figure everything and to give an answer. So it's also quite problematic. And although I wrote also a book on Shabbos, but also a book for the army, Tzava Ba'alacha, but war questions are always, a lot of them, always new, always special, always...
This particular answer you gave immediately, or you had time for?
This one, I gave immediately.
Yeah.
Yes, although it's very interesting, look, there are a lot of issues here that... That I had all those things to figure quite quickly. There are things that that in each issue of those that I knew before, I couldn't now start planning all this because it would take ages. But this was a very quick one because it was, I don't know, it depends where they are. Usually they don't let them phone at all. They take the cell phones because they're afraid that people will give secrets of the army. So they take all the cell phones, there's no cell phones, and if you want together, you can go there. There you can see all the group together.
Yeah.
So there, I suppose.
Keep going.
Okay. So there is a... Sometimes the normal armies, so they have more time, they phone me there. But in wartime, usually they are not phoning from their cell phone. There's a queue of the telephone, the army telephone. Everyone has 2 minutes, and this is quite complicated. Okay. So we'll go to the next question. A soldier asks me, he got permission to go home for Shabbos. But they told him, you know, it's a war, you're going home, but maybe we'll call you back on Shabbos and then you'll have to come back. He's living in Tel Aviv. He asked me, may he go home for Shabbos when he knows that he has to take his cell phone all the time with him? And he knows that if they'll phone him on Shabbos, he'll have to go back to the army, to Gaza. May he go home? Or may he tell? Should he tell him, okay, I'll stay here because I can't go and you'll... And I know that maybe you'll call me back on Shabbos. What do you say?
Isn't it like a doctor? A doctor can have his phone on Shabbat if there's going to be an emergency. So he'll have his phone on, and if an emergency arises, then he'll go back. If
okay.
Not, not.
Is it similar to a doctor? Or maybe there is a different?
That he could avoid it?
Not exactly. People are nefesh.
What?
Going to
doctor?
Going off to Gaza.
I think
for that one soldier to go to Gaza.
Okay. Okay, so there is one issue in the middle deal with this, with your issue. What do you say?
Well, a doctor can be allowed to go back and forth.
Doctor can?
A doctor, I think the reason we allow him to go back and forth is because if we don't allow him to, then maybe next time he won't go and take it. But here in the army, he has to go, he's under the army's orders, and they call him, he has to go, and he has to stay also with the army on the front line.
So, in the meantime, I'll leave your question about Hagdarat Pikuach Nefesh there in the army. And you say maybe there is a Aloche Nimtzeta Machshilan Le'atid Lavo, that someone who is going to save you, allow him to go back home, because if you won't allow him to go back home, he won't go to save next time. Nimtzeta Machshilan Le'atid Lavo. So maybe in the army, there isn't an issue like this because they are forced to come. I mean, it's not like a doctor that maybe he won't go, although he's also a little, but in the army they have to do the orders, maybe. But also this, first of all, it's not true that it's the difference between the army and doctors here. And second thing, all this is about coming back, not about going. And third thing, most of Rishonim understand that also to come back, it's just in at the Rabbono, not in the Oraisa. That they can go back by bicycle, but not to ride a car. They may go back with a car, with a goy. Although Rav Feinstein thinks differently. Rav Feinstein, Rav Goren, but most shitot didn't allow the Oraita here. But the thing is another different, that I think for 100% it's Pikuach Nefesh. In a minute I'll speak about it. But the thing that's different is if you are active or passive. A doctor stays at home, okay? He doesn't need to go to the place of Pikuach Nefesh to be there, that if he'll need to save people, he won't have to do Chilul Shabbos. He can stay at home. Everyone can stay in his home, but this soldier is in the hospital now, is in Gaza, and is leaving straight before Shabbos. He's leaving, he's doing an active thing, he's going out of there when he knows that there's a good option that he'll have to go back on Shabbos. And there's a big difference when to be active or to be passive. I mean, to stay in your house, okay. You don't need to go to the hospital to go there, and someone's pregnant doesn't need to go and stay all the on Shabbos or in hospital because maybe she'll have the baby then. But if you are in hospital, to leave hospital, to go home, and you know that maybe in a few hours you have to go back, then you do something active. And maybe it's different with what I told you now. I'll give you just something that you can work with. Shabbos Yutet Amud Aleph. This is a source for answering. Shabbos Yutet Amud Aleph. Ein Mafligin Besfina. This is the source there. And you have to see the Gemara there on Ein Mafligin Besfina Samuch LeShabbos. With the Rishonim there, you'll see there is one Shita of Tosfot, of Rif, of Rabbeinu Hananel, and of Baal HaMaor, that this is the most important for us. Then you'll see what is the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch for this question, for this Machloikes. What is the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch? And according to the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, you'll try, and according to what you learn, you'll try to figure an answer to this question. About Pikuach Nefesh, when someone sees someone sick, someone's going to die next to him, he understands more that we need a doctor, because without a doctor, we don't know what to do. So understand it's direct pikuach nefesh. But really, it's exactly the same in a war and in the army. It's true that when you have thousands of soldiers, you can say, okay, if one won't be, so maybe there's no problem. But it's really not like this. I'll tell you a mashal. Mashal emar davar dome. It's not a real story, yes, but once was a king that was very sick. The doctors told him, if you want to be healthy, to cure you, you have to swim every day in a swimming pool of Coca-Cola. What is Coca-Cola? Coke. Swimming pool of Coke. And this will save your life. So he told all his kingdom at night, everyone has to bring, we are putting this big swimming pool empty, everyone should bring a bottle of Coke and pour it at night to this swimming pool. Tomorrow I can swim in Coke. Okay, so people brought all night, all the town brought bottles. And one person thought to himself, isn't it a shame just to take the Coke and to chuck it out like this? Instead of Coke, what will I do? I'll bring water. One bottle of water, swing full of Coke. No one noticed. So he brought water. In the morning, the king woke up, and went to the swimming pool. And what did he see? That everything was just water. Because one said, okay, just one bottle. This is something that connected for a difference between a private site to a Klal Yisrael site. When you look in a private eyes, you say, okay, what's problem? No problem, I'm just one person, I'll go, I won't go. But when you look at the state, army, war, you understand that all the view is different. And it's different, first of all, because everyone can be important. And if you will say like this, and he'll say like this, everything will crash. So no one can say, okay, I'm not needed. Because everyone, like Rambam says, לעולם יראה אדם חציו זכאי חציו חייב, והעולם חציו עשה מעשה אחד, יכריע את העולם כל הזכות, עשה... You never know, you have to see yourself and as a middle לשון מוזניים. Okay, yes. And you understand that everyone is important. But I think there is another issue. And this is an issue that's connected two different rules between one person, an army, a state. You asked before about, someone asked about burying, to bury, likbor, mishu met. Likbor mishu met, to bury someone, you know, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Vav speaks, what is the chiyuv to bury? Okay, so they see here and there. We saw the Tanakh that people were buried. But of course, this is not something that gets close at all for Shabbos. If someone, person, Chas v'shalom, his father, let's say died now, and let's say that he's now, I don't know, on a mountain. And the body of his father goes and with the rain down the mountain, I'm trying to think of something. And now it's going to disappear. If you won't take it now, he won't be able to bury his father. But it's Shabbos. He has no goyder. He's alone. And now to carry him, no eruv, hotzah, deoraisa. What we do? What should he do? Leave it. How terrible is it is, but you have nothing to do. Ein chokhma ve'in tvuna ve'in eitzah keneged Hashem. Nothing you can do. What can you do? Shabbos. If you have shinui, this maybe you can do something. Let's say you can't do shinui. Now you can do it. Deoraisa. Okay, what can you do? You'll give up. You won't do it. And you won't bury your father. But, yes? Kvod HaBriyos, although the Gemara in Brachos Daf Kaf says, Doiche Gadol Kvod HaBriyos, Shedoche Lo Ta'ase, Shebatire, but the Gemara says, Doche Lo Ta'ase Shel Divrehem. Not everything we do for Kvod HaBriyos. And for sure we won't do Chilul Shabbos Deoraisa. But when we are in the army, and the Arabs killed someone. And we know that if we won't take his body, the terrorists, the Arabs, will take it with them. What do we say should we do? Why?
Because they take the body, you have to do another exchange. 1,000 terrorists get away. 1,000 terrorists get away. Now, each one of them is direct murder on their hands. They're going to kill more Jews.
So this is a question that for sure we have to think about different than individualic one, than one person. If it would be a family, so 100% we say nothing, you can do anything, you can't do Chilul Shabbos, leave the body. When it comes to the army, you have to think. Maybe what you said now, Pidyon Shvuim afterwards, maybe who knows how many terrorists will be for this body. And also maybe, what do you say?
Agunot.
But Agunot also won't allow us Chilul Shabbos. It's a very terrible issue. But it won't allow us Chilul Shabbos. But when we are in the army, so Pidyon Shvuim is one.
Terrorist. Why is Pidyon Shvuim a heter?
I didn't say it's a heter or not a heter. I said it's a different issue. Because we know that if the Arabs have a body, for a body, sometimes they can get 1,000 terrorists back.
And that's considered pigot.
Maybe. It's at least an issue that you know it's something different, that you have to think about it differently. But another thing is,
family person, it's like very psychologically damaging to know that their child's body or their family member's body is with the Arabs. So it could be called nefesh for them.
Look, this is also true, although I don't think we would do it like this because I don't know. Because also if it's a big ogmas nefesh, if it's pikuach nefesh, so it's something else. But let's say it's not usually pikuach nefesh, but it's ogmas nefesh. They'll have a terrible life afterwards. But it's not so simple to do Chilul Shabbos for it. Although I don't want to be the one afterwards in the radio when explains it. I mean, it's not so simple. It's not so simple. It's an issue that we have to think about. What do you say?
Others highly won't want to fight as hard or protect the country.
I think that this, what you say now, a body of a soldier that the terrorists take, it breaks the morale. Breaks morale of soldiers. Breaking more of soldiers in a war, it's not something simple. So I say, okay, you understand, Shabbos is important. Now you are fighting. The terrorist killed a friend of you and took his body. It's very, very, very problematic. It's very problematic. It's something that Chas v'Chalila can break maybe moral of soldiers. Although moral looks, okay, what does it matter? It's just moral. Maybe it's an issue of pikuach nefesh. And I don't say the answer what to do now about it, although I can tell you that this question is different, entirely different than a question like this that would be asked by a family. Army is something different. And a lot of questions that we are dealing with now, we are dealing in normal halachical sight. If it wouldn't be like this, I wouldn't give you to try answering them. Although, there are things that answers in the army, or sometimes other issues also about Medinat Israel, will be different. And I'll give you something about the state. Let's say there is an electricity cut in Tel Aviv. No electricity in Tel Aviv. Let's say we have no going. A Jew is the only one who can fix it. This is not connected now to the army. But just I'm trying to show you a difference between a private site to Klal Yisrael site. What do you say? To fix it or not to fix it? You say hospital. Hospitals was a very good answer or very good excuse a few years ago. Not today. Generators. Everyone has a generator. So the answer is no. But maybe, maybe, when you look on an individual person, you say, okay, you can manage with no electricity on Shabbos, no problem. But if you look on a town like Tel Aviv, you can say 100% it is pikuach nefesh. There are old people that you don't know who, but no electricity on Shabbos. An old man that goes and he's mixed up and he falls, and maybe danger, more dangerous. Maybe people have machines in their home that they need it connected to electricity. Maybe can be, we don't know, but maybe when you look on pikuach nefesh of tzibur, sometimes the answers are different than pikuach nefesh of yachid. Not always it's the same answer. All the questions that I gave you till now will be the same, just that you understand that that army is pikuach nefesh. But there are issues that can be different. Rav Kook says that for 100% that the Maccabim, the Hashmonaim, had a Shulchan Oruch for the army that got lost. We haven't got it anymore. We haven't got it anymore. And what we are doing now is something that for 2,000 years no one has done. From the Maccabim, we didn't have an army, a Jewish army, to start here and wow, what do you do? Mishneh, Gemore, Rambam, Rishonim, we have things on water, but not a real Shulchan Aruch. Jews didn't have army, didn't have a war, they were killed in wars, but not as they weren't of our soldiers. And what we are doing now is very challenging. It's something, wow, we have to deal with questions that just 2,000 years ago got an answer, and according to all the sources we have to try to figure a new Shulchan Aruch for the army. Rav Goren was the one who started it in the foundation, beginning of Medinat Israel. And from then, a lot of rabbis continued it, but it's very, very difficult. I'll give you another question. I got a question from an officer of Handasa Kravit. You know what is Handasa Kravit?
Engineer.
Yes. Engineer in the army. I mean, it's engineering battling. They... One of the things they know to do is connected to mines. And he told me, I'm on the border, and every soldier who comes to the border, we train them how to be careful of mines. And we do it all the time, around the clock, because from the border they are going inside all the time, they are around the clock inside Gaza. And he said, I'm training them by PowerPoint. May I use PowerPoint on Shabbos? Because also on Shabbos I have to train them all the time, new soldiers. May I use PowerPoint on Shabbos? This is a new question. No one was asked in Yom Kippur War about PowerPoint. Not in 6 days War. I don't know if you know about it. You won't find any book. You don't remember that once wasn't PowerPoint. But when I was a child, so people didn't have computer at home, also in the state. What do you say? What to tell him?
What's the problem with electricity? What's the answer of electricity?
Oh, he has to use, okay. So he has to see, he used PowerPoint on Shabbat, so of course he has to turn on, he has to do...
Would you have to see if
Can he do it without the PowerPoint?
Okay, I asked him, can he do it without the PowerPoint? So he said, I can do it. I can give them pages. Can be. I can do it without. I asked him, it's the same? He said, almost, but PowerPoint will be better.
So you tell him like this, would it save at least one soldier if you did the PowerPoint? Like, would it be a little bit more detailed that it would maybe save one soldier from that situation? And I think what he said, I think it's a little bit of a lahaka when it comes to electricity, because there are some sort of, rabbis that hold that it's midrabanan. So maybe from Isur midrabanan, you'd be able to, be more lahaka, like these two things together.
Look, to ask him exactly this question, it's a problem, because it's a question that I don't think anyone can give an answer. But I did ask him if it can be a little better, if it can help someone to understand better. And he said yes. He said also this is okay, but this is better. Okay, what's the answer? The answer is yes. This is a simple answer. The answer is yes. And this is what I told him. Although he tried to convince me not to use it. He said, okay, I can manage. I thought, it's better? He said, yes, it's colored, it's better. A few days afterwards, I was told that 150 soldiers went and slept in an empty school in Gaza, a school of Arabs that was empty. In the middle of night, one of them went to the bathroom and he saw a stream. And according to what he learned, he thought maybe it's connected to a bomb. He told his officers, they took everyone out of the building, they checked this string and they saw that it's connected to 200 kilograms of an enormous bomb. They took everyone out, and if he wouldn't discover it, if someone would move it a little, chas v'chalila, to imagine what could have happened there. Chas v'chalila, to imagine that everyone could crash in this place. So Baruch Hashem, they were saved. But when I heard it, I was so happy that I was so certain in my answer. Sometimes when you're out of the army, you can't say, okay, do it like this, what does it matter? When you understand what is pikuach nefesh, you understand that sometimes also, who knows, if it's a little more clear, who knows if it can't save life afterwards. There are a lot more questions, but I think that there are a lot of questions also not connected for Shabbos. I focused on Shabbos ones, but a lot of questions, a soldier that asked me, one officer was there in the war, it was the terrorists shot him, and he was wounded. And they were shooting all the time. And another soldier came to save him. He succeeded saving him out, but he was also wounded. Both of them was next to bed in hospital. And after the soldiers asked me, what are the rules? How much should you sacrifice yourself to save your friend? It's not a simple question. And I'm not answering now, it's not connected to for Shabbos, just examples for... I was on the border, and a soldier comes out, and he's crashed, looks as if it took him from a sardine tin. I asked him, I think it's okay, he says, yes, I was for a week and a half now in the tank, closed, in Gaza. He says, Rabbi, I have a question. I said, what's your question? What is his question?
Can you say Kriya Shema near bathroom stuff?
You understand that if you use a week and a half in the tank, the bathroom is not another way. Everything is inside. And there is no bathroom in the tank. I don't know if you want to say the tank, but there is no bathroom in the tank, yes? You understand that after a week and a half, it's not the best place, not the best smelly place. Although things are in boxes, but it's not the best. And he's bothered about davening. May davening the tongue. Say Kriyat Shema, daven, pray. I said, wow. I thought to myself, he's coming now from Gaza after a week and a half, and this what's bothering him. I won't tell you now the answer, but I'll tell you that one rabbi from the States, a few rabbis that came and asked me questions from the wall. One of them, I think, you know, Rabbi Willig. He was here, he came to me in the wall for afterwards. But it's not him, someone else. And I told him this question, so he told me, I can't understand, what's the problem? I said, what? He said, Asuk be mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, he's in the wall. Asuk be mitzvah, patur min mitzvah. He doesn't need to daven. I told him, I got thousands of questions, I think, from soldiers all those years. Never a soldier, a religious soldier, phoned me and asked me how can they be patur from davening. Soldiers don't want to be patur. They want to daven, they want to pray, especially in the war. So if you look in halachical, you should say, okay, you are patur. But if you understand what is a war, what are soldiers, what is a Jewish army, so you understand that it's an entirely different side, and also the answers will be different. We'll stop now. What we'll do is, I'll show you. When are they coming?
Coming in 5 minutes.
Okay. So if you have questions, you can ask me questions. And then when the girls will come, I'll show the shul. And afterwards we'll sit together and I'll show you two short movies. One that Rav Reichman and me with a soldier in Gaza, a very exciting that someone photo there. And another one, I'll show you a minute that I got of the school with the string with the bomb. Someone from the army photoed it when it happened, and I have the short movie. So I'll show you. If it doesn't interest you, we don't need, but if you want, I can show you the short of this school. So this we'll see afterwards, and then we learn